This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Thanks for listening to The Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern, or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app. Welcome. It's a Friday. It's a meat Friday, technically. We'll have the menu for you coming up. Ryan Leaf will join us in studio. Former NFL quarterback Chase Daniel a little bit later on. Your phone calls, always welcome. Say good morning if you're watching on Peacock, our streaming partner. And if you haven't downloaded the app, please do so. Also, our radio affiliates around the country, numbering nearly 400 cities carrying this program. Stat of the day, as always, brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. Sign up for the newsletter. A lot of great stuff. And you'll be the first to find out about the pumpkin spiced maple moonshine when that will drop. Sign up. Go to danpatrick.com. Put your email address in the box that slides out. Bottom right corner. Good to go. A lot of great t-shirts at danpatrick.com. Check out the store. All right. Play of the day, poll question, stat of the day, all that forthcoming. Phillies close out the Braves 3-1, and they end up winning 3-1. Baseball playoffs come back on Sunday. It'll be the Rangers and the Astros. We'll run down the college football weekend, also the NFL games. Chiefs handled the Broncos last night, 19-8. Yesterday during the show, I mentioned that DraftKings had a point spread of 10.5. Later in the show, I updated that the point spread was 11. The final score, 19-8. And if I do the math and carry the one, that's an 11-point spread. How do they do that? Now, they don't get them all right, of course, but there are times when you go, come on. 42.5, like for a college football game. And then all of a sudden, that team will win by 42. Bad beats. West Virginia last night. West Virginia giving 3. They've got it. They're going to win it. 12 seconds to go. All you got to do is knock down the pass, the Hail Mary pass. Just knock it down. Houston ends up with a touchdown, and they end up winning by 2. How do they do it?
How do they know how to do that?
I don't know. I don't know.
How do they know
how to do it? Okay. Todd is accusing. I don't know who you're accusing.
I don't know who I'm accusing.
You're accusing somebody because you came in and go, I don't know.
Because
something.
It's across all sports and any secondary, tertiary, anything that's going on in the sports world that you could put odds on, you know, like the Link Sparks game, whatever it is. I'm not singling out WNBA, but whatever it is, they get it. They nail it, so close.
It wasn't the Lynx and Sparks.
No, I'm just throwing out, but randomly throughout the course of a year, how do they get any sports?
Was it the Liberty and Aces?
Yeah, Liberty and Aces are playing when the championship. But like, to, I don't know, like 123 is going to be the over-under for some game, and they get it within a half a point, a foul shot or a three-pointer at the end of the game. Come on.
Thank you, Todd.
What's going on?
All right. Yes, Bowling.
The odds makers can predict the final score of the games because they have no opinion as far as, like, they have no dog in the fight. They're just looking for the number. They're looking at the weather. They're looking at who's out, who's in. You know, we cannot look at games. I don't think normal guys like us, people like us, can look at a game objectively. We always like another team. We don't like Russell Wilson. We do like Russell Wilson. We can't be completely objective. Like, Vegas is objective.
Still, though, there are times when you go, that is such, like, it's just a coincidence.
Like, if they know how to do this so well, shouldn't they be drafting players then instead of everybody else?
Are they allowed to bet those who set the lines? Can they bet?
Not at their own sports book, but they could bet away from their own sports book. From what I know about betting, if you work at a sports book, let's say you're at a Vegas sports book and you work there, you can't bet at your own sports book. You have to bet outside the building. I'll check, but that's what I was told.
But wouldn't you think if you're that good at setting the line, then you have a pretty good idea of what's going to happen, that you would be betting? Or maybe betting before the line came out so you could take advantage of that and maybe get the game at 10.5 instead of 11. Yeah, Paulie.
I think high-end bettors, really good bettors, take advantage of public emotion. Like when everyone bets on Tiger to win or something like that, or when, what was the game a couple weeks ago? I don't know what it was, but there was some game in the NFL where everyone's like, everyone's betting with emotion.
They bet emotion with Colorado.
Colorado, that was it. Everyone was betting Colorado, and the line was so out of whack that any good bettor went against Colorado.
Yeah. Just, there are times when it's just baffling. You're just going, how did this happen? You know? Yes, Todd.
And if you were to ask these people, like, how do you do it? I wonder what they would say. If you're like some high-end executive at some Vegas casino or whatever, and hopefully you can leave with all your fingers and thumbs intact if you would dare ask, how did you know that 123.5 points?
Well, they're not going to chop your fingers.
I don't know. Well, they may hire someone. They don't want to do it.
These are business people.
They don't personally want to do it. They hire the people.
Todd, this isn't a movie.
Like I think that stuff goes on.
No.
Don't be so naive, Dan.
Try to be an hour late on the payment of whatever bad beat that you got to see what happens to your
thumb. Never gambled before. Shut up.
And I've got all my limbs, thankfully.
You don't even know what you're talking about.
10.5 became 11 and it ended 19.8.
How dare you ask me how we do this? Chop off his arm.
That's right. Off with your head. Yeah, what is this, the 17th century?
That's a little too much, though.
That's what they do.
Like, all right. I got a Meat Friday, and the Meat Friday is geared towards one person today. Fritzy. Birthday week.
Birthday week?
Yeah. Yeah. You took a pie to the face at the end of the show yesterday.
That was a good sport because I knew that Clemson
content.
Was going to...
It's content. Yeah. That's all I asked for. Give me content. So Fritzy's Meat Friday. We have Chinese barbecue pork.
Ooh.
Beef and broccoli. General Tso's chicken, beef lo mein, pork, fried rice, and Mountain Dew cake.
What is that?
Who has it better than Fritzy does?
Nobody. What is Mountain Dew cake?
Tyler whipped it up. He looked for a recipe, and he found a Mountain Dew cake recipe. And that'll be, so some of this will be on the Traeger grill.
Is it really General Tso's chicken, or is it Tso's chicken in general? I just got to make sure, because there's a difference.
Todd.
That's a lot of Chinese food.
But why are you?
I don't know.
I know, but why?
That's a lot of Chinese food. Are you guys okay with that?
This is the first ever theme-specific Danette meal in the show history.
Yes. Yeah.
That is incredible. Okay. I thought you guys forgot about me. I didn't get the little cake after the show Tuesday. I was like,
no, you got a pie to the face.
I know. And don't think I wasn't eating some of the blueberries off the back of my neck when you guys weren't looking. Or maybe you were looking. The coast clear. I got crust on my shoulder. I'm going to eat some of that.
Yeah, boy.
After today's lunch, what is Fritzy going to do for dinner in Dateline tonight? Because he was going to order that same exact menu at home.
That is a problem.
877-3DP-SHOW. Operator Tyler standing by. Poll question, Seton. What are we going to go with today?
We're going with most wonky quarterback situation.
Wonky is the word we're using.
Yes, wonky.
Wonky
is the word we're using.
All right. Do we have a definition of wonky? Yes, Paul.
Not great and not necessarily awful. But like in flux, definitely not great. Like the Chiefs have a great quarterback situation. The Bengals have a great one. But there are teams that have wonky ones where they have to make a decision soon. They're under a contract, you know, problems. Mm. They don't have their guy, but they spent on their guy like it was their guy.
Well, you didn't give me the official definition. You gave me your interpretation of wonky.
Okay. I'll look in the Webster's Dictionary.
Crooked, off-center, askew. Unsteady, shaky, not functioning correctly, faulty. That's wonky.
Okay.
All right. So, give
example.
Me the, give me, yes.
The Denver Broncos.
Ooh. Okay. Like,
would you like another?
Well, that's financially wonky, and that is performance wonky last night. Like, it was 13-0 at halftime and should have been like 30-0, it felt like. And then Denver's defense played pretty well. Kansas City's defense played well. When's the last time the Chiefs' defense was ranked higher than the Chiefs' offense? Since Patrick Mahomes took over, the Chiefs' scoring offense has been ranked higher than their scoring defense until this year so far. The defense is second in scoring. Offense is ranked 9th.
Woo! Ow! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! Stat of the day! This is the stat of the day!
Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. This first hour brought to you by the great folks at Discover. You like using debit over credit? And you can get rewarded when you do so. Discover Cashback Debit. It's a checking account that rewards everyone with cash back on everyday purchases. No fees. How about that? Check out eligibility and terms at discover.com/cashbackdebit. Discover Bank, member FDIC. What other wonky situations do we have, Seton?
How about the Cleveland Browns? That's a wonky situation, isn't it?
It shouldn't be. Well, Deshaun Watson hasn't played well. But if I go back to last Sunday when he was medically cleared, but then his coach said that Deshaun Watson chose not to play, I said at the time, I've never heard a coach do that. Normally, you're going to cover for your quarterback. But to say he chose not to play, and I go, I don't know if this is a story or not, but you know, once everybody started picking up on it, then they had to start answering questions, and they didn't do well answering questions. Because if Kevin Stefanski doesn't say that, then maybe I just look at this at face value. Deshaun Watson has a banged up shoulder, a shoulder contusion, and can't throw the ball downfield with any zip. And that's why he wasn't. So medically cleared to play means he's not going to hurt it anymore, but that doesn't mean he can perform at the level that he's comfortable with. But Kevin Stefanski, the head coach, didn't help out at all. He chose not to play. Now, in that sport, then we have some real questions. Wait, he chose not to play? Everybody chooses to play. You're going to have to take away my helmet to get me out of the game. Here's Deshaun Watson not playing, and then apparently not playing this weekend against the 49ers. So now it feels like there's something there. I mean, you're stuck with the contract, so there's nothing you can do about that. But Kevin Stefanski's coaching for his job. This team has a lot of talent. I know they lost Nick Chubb. That defense is really good. And this is a winnable division. Deshaun Watson hasn't played well. And yes, I've talked about who he is off the field and all the things that surfaced. I wouldn't want him to be my quarterback. But my job is to look at what he does when he's on the field. And he hasn't been good. But I never questioned his toughness before. And I'm not really doing it now. It's just the situation made me question, you know, why his coach would say what he said. You know, if he can't play at the level that he's comfortable playing, okay, cover for your quarterback. He's going to be there a lot longer than you are. And that was what was surprising. Now, Kevin Stefanski might go, yeah, I'm coaching for my job. It would be nice if he helped me keep my job by playing. Yeah, Paul.
And Deshaun Watson is not going to get the benefit of the doubt from any football fans. He is for the most part,
right.
A dislikable person for yeah. most sports fans, and he's tolerated because he's a great football player. And like you said, Stefanski maybe didn't do him any favors, but he's going to take the hit for not playing. They soft. He sat out a season by choice already, so why would anyone be surprised?
Seton, what else do you have?
We have the Arizona Cardinals.
That's wonky.
That's a wonky sitch.
Yeah, because I wonder, is Kyler going to play? Do they want him to play? Are you going to get the first pick? They've been maybe too good, but do they then say, plus that's a tough division with, you know, obviously the 49ers in Seattle, and the Rams are better than we thought. But that's, yeah, that's wonky. Mm. Yeah, what else?
New York Giants. That is a wonky quarterback situation.
Well, I think it's another year wonky, and that's it. I mean, they should have just, I don't know what they were doing. You know, they were bidding against themselves. They gave him that contract, and he's making whatever, $42 million. And he might need a change of scenery. I think he's got talent. I just, you know, playing in front of New York is tough, man. Everything is analyzed, overanalyzed. And he makes mistakes, fumbles, interceptions. I never would have given him that kind of contract. Never. Yes, Eden. What else?
The Minnesota Vikings.
Short-term wonky. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I got to figure out what happens this year, and then I would start over.
I feel like the Giants and the Vikings are in similar situations.
Okay, would you rather have Kirk Cousins or Daniel Jones?
I'm not going to insult Mr. Cousins that way.
Oh, well, okay. He's going to get a new contract, and then that might change your answer there.
Maybe.
Danny Dimes is making more than – he's like making $20 million more than Kirk T. Cousins is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, what else do you have, Seton?
And then we have one more on here, the Bears. I don't know if their quarterback situation is all that wonky necessarily, but
– you think it's cut and dried that Justin Fields, this is the last year, and then you hope to get the number one or number two pick in the draft, or both?
I mean, isn't that what the Bears hope?
I would think so. But what if Justin Fields continues to play pretty well? Right? Like, he's had a couple of pretty good games. I don't just say, maybe they figured out how to use him. Instead of trying to make him a pocket passer, let him be a Cam Newton-type quarterback. But you can't pass on Caleb Williams again. You know, Bryce Young, I get it. You can pass on that, but not Caleb Williams. Yes, Paul.
One little tidbit to up the wonkiness level for the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos are one Carolina Panthers victory away from having the number one pick of the draft based off strength of schedule. At 1-5, if Carolina won one game and were 1-5 and Bears, based off strength of schedule right now, Denver would have the number one pick of the draft.
Colorado Caleb, let's go.
Wait, I thought Denver gave up all their draft picks.
I think they gave him up the past 2 years. 2 years, yeah. But I think they're back in position. I'm almost
sure. Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Oh.
Right now, if the draft were today, the Bears had the first pick with Carolina's trade. Then Denver, then Chicago again, then Minnesota, then New England. Wonky, wonky, wonky.
How about the Patriots situation? Is that wonky? There's a lot of wonky. There's a lot of wonkiness.
They're not locked into a monster contract.
No.
Though. And that's why it's easy. Like, I don't remember what Justin Fields' contract situation is, but it's like, all right, we're pretty good. Don't worry about it. Just cut him loose. You know? Russell Wilson, it's like, what the hell are we going to do with this dude? He's got a ring. He's like, he's a dude who could get you to the Super Bowl, and he's terrible right now. And all of this money is wrapped up in him. We've got a couple of good wide receivers, but he can't. How are we supposed to fix this?
Oh, man. So I got $100 million tied up in my head coach. And I've got, $200 million tied up in Russell Wilson Jr. III? And Seton brought this up, and he said, you know, I'm looking at Russell Wilson on the sidelines, and he just looks like he's broken. You know, he doesn't have that Russ confidence, or even if it was fake confidence, but it just feels like, you know, it's a bad day. It's going to be a bad day. I don't know how bad it's going to be, but it's going to be a bad day. But you can't even score in the first half. They're just non-threatening. Yes, Todd.
every day or every week is going to be a bad day. If you don't roll out, the only time they do anything remotely positive offensively is he immediately rolls to the left or right and runs for a few yards or throws it. As long as they have him standing there in the pocket with that offensive line, his head ducks down and he gets sacked in like 1.8 seconds and it's time to punt.
Would you rather have a win last night or today's menu, Meat Friday?
By far, Meat Friday Chinese food. By far.
Oh, you'd rather have that than a Broncos win over the Chiefs?
Because the Broncos season is over, and as much as
wow.
I want them to break their losing streak to the 15-16 games,
wow.
yeah. What's the difference?
Now it's they, not we.
Now it's they a little bit.
Oh, well, they, not we.
All right, so they would have gone to 2-4 and broke the 15-game losing streak. Then that's all. But I'm going to have a nice. We're all going to have nice Chinese food for lunch, and their season's over anyway, so it doesn't matter.
All right, we'll settle
down on that.
Thank you, Tom.
They're punting again. Hold on a second.
Ton.
I want to watch them punt.
Thank you, Ton. We'll settle on a poll question coming up. Also, the moment last night pregame with Steve Smith of NFL Network and Jerry Jeudy, and I was watching it live, and I go, what the hell is going on here? Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, and you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR, or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
If you do the quick math, the less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your products or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep, which is obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So reduce your cost. Reduce the headaches. Smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial, management, inventory, HR under one platform. And one source of truth with NetSuite. You reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud, so there's no hardware required. And you can access from anywhere. So you cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes onto one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Right now, backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. So head to netsuite.com/Patrick. netsuite.com/Patrick. Would you give me the results of the poll question, and then we'll get situated with Ryan Leaf.
Dan, we put up there, how superstitious are you? Extremely, slightly, or not at all? Mm. Right now, 68% of the audience are slightly superstitious.
All right.
The Broncos quarterback situation is still the most wonky.
We're trying to get the microphone situated here with Ryan Leaf. I don't know if Ryan broke it, but let's see. He didn't break it. Okay. All right. That's why we can't have nice things.
Not a good sign, though, if Paul's being the tech guy. That's, things have gone askew. Speaking of wonky, things have gone askew.
All right, I'll come in and fix it.
Do you want to We'll just hold it. You just hold the microphone there, Ryan. How's that? Okay. How about we turn on his microphone here?
Got this one here?
Yeah. All right. What do we have? All right.
live television. Live television, everybody.
Yeah. All right.
But the thing is, you want this. That's the Dan Patrick show.
Oh, yeah. Yes. You need that.
Yeah.
Ryan is, of course, college football NFL analyst for Westwood One and NFL Network. And the CEO of Ram Consultant Incorporated, college football and NFL analyst. You can see him on Good Morning Football. Good to see you again. Let me start with the college football weekend. Notre Dame and USC. If you were Notre Dame and you're game planning for USC, what would you do?
Well, I would attack their defense because that's where they're so vulnerable. I don't think they're bad defensively, Dan. I think that, unfortunately, Alex Grinch, he's the defensive coordinator. He tends to get a little too complicated. You see him running some different schemes defensively, and that leaves gaps open all over the field. When they're talented enough, I mean, they recruit well enough to have the right guys there to do the work that they need to do, but he just gets them into some awkward situations, and all of a sudden they're being gashed because the gap integrity is lost, and the offense is relying totally now on Caleb Williams to save them. And with what they have over the next 6 weeks, that's going to be really difficult. I actually see them probably losing maybe three of the six games here down the stretch.
USC,
yeah,
loses three.
I don't think they escape South Bend, actually.
Well, Notre Dame's favored by three. By the way, who came up with gap integrity?
I believe it was Socrates.
But why? It sounds like a Mike Mayock.
Well, as soon as it was said, all analysts jumped to it. So, and I'm guilty of that as well.
I don't know what gap integrity means.
Okay, so like, you know, when somebody has integrity, it's good stuff, like good integrity, right? Gap integrity is about good, you know, good, solid, in your right gap on the defensive side of football. When you do not have gap integrity.
Why do we need to say
that? What would you use something else? They were in the wrong spot? Just say they're in the wrong spot. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't, because it's analysticky.
Like, we're going to throw the ball, you know, vertically.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to take the top off the like, it feels like, you know, three technique guy.
I think what you just, you know, yeah, I'm guilty of it too. I've been swayed by the gap integrity conversation. Probably heard it from Orlovsky. I tend to take a lot of stuff from Orlovsky because he's really good at it. And so, yeah, that's probably where I got it from.
But it feels like it's a secret language that only analysts have this. You can't use this, just us.
Yeah.
The guys who, you know, we played. We know what set the edge means. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, the set the edge part, I was like, just make sure he doesn't get outside you, you know?
It's like everybody's got to have their favorite. What were the other ones that Mayock would have?
Oily hips, oily, waistbender.
Waistbender was big. And oily hips.
Oily hips, huh? That was my problem. I didn't have oily hips, guys. That was the problem.
We finally figured it out.
Figured it out after 25 years, but we got it.
Who did we have on who was falling in love with Drake May? Was that Orlovsky?
Orlovsky.
Orlovsky likes Drake May. It feels like he likes him more than he does Caleb Williams.
Okay, the thing, my guy's Michael Penix Jr., so that's where we
would you take him over these other two?
Yeah, I take Penix over both of them.
If you had the number one pick in the draft,
yes,
you would take Michael Penix.
Yes, because of what Kalen DeBoer does offensively with Ryan Grubb. It's a very pro-style offense. Also, he doesn't get sacked. He gets the ball out of his hand, and that doesn't mean just quickly. Sometimes it's down the field for big shots quickly. He does not get sacked. The last 2 years, you look at what Caleb Williams has had to do. You're not going to be able to do that in the NFL, where you're going to be able to go backwards, run all over the place and make a play. Now, maybe he will, but it hasn't been sustainable for a lot of guys. I mean, Patrick Mahomes uses it when he needs to. It seems like Caleb Williams has to do it all the time. I think Drake May is probably a good fit there as well in terms of what he can do. You know, but I think he's a lot like Sam Howell. I do. I think they're very similar, just not only because they're from North Carolina. Michael Penix Jr. for me, and this is hard for me to say, you know, being a Washington Husky, rocking a Cougs shirt on your show here. But I just like him a lot, and I love what Kalen DeBoer and Ryan Grubb bring to the table in terms of their offensive philosophy and what it can look like when it translates to the NFL game.
I like that. Okay. Because I agree with you. Caleb Williams won't be able to play this way in the NFL.
No.
he may have moments, you know, plays that he can play like this, but, you know, the game is just so much quicker, as you know, getting ball out, you know, your reads when you throw it away, all of those things. But Orlovsky loved Drake May.
I haven't studied him enough. I've been breaking down a little bit of what the Miami-UNC matchup is for this weekend, just because of what went down with Miami last week, because I wanted this game to be such a big deal. And last week's decision by Mario Cristobal kind of put that to the side a little bit, you know, and hopefully it won't beat him twice. So this, I think this will go a long way for Drake May if he can have a really good game against the likes of the Miami Hurricanes in a division or in a conference. And then, you know, hopefully they'll get to a championship game against Florida State, who's really good.
So you just, so I have it correct, if you had the number one pick in the draft and needed a quarterback, you would take Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah, he to me is you know, Trevor Lawrence. He to me is Andrew Luck. That's what I believe in him. I mean,
okay.
It's not the same, but you know, the Heisman Trophy sounds are starting to come out a lot louder around Michael Penix Jr. I think he's like the number two guy right now.
I think he might be number one.
And I tell you, he's got a great opportunity. They got Oregon at home this weekend, right? This is the first, like the fifth top 10 matchup at Husky Stadium ever. It's going to be a huge, huge deal. It's a close game. They beat him in Eugene last year. Then he's got a November 11th matchup at SC against Caleb Williams. He goes down there, they win, and he beats the reigning Heisman Trophy winner. His stock is going to skyrocket. And so I'm just trying to get on that train earlier than most.
We're talking to Ryan Leaf, joining us, and a Washington State grad.
Yeah.
I don't understand the battle going on with you and game day with Washington State.
I took the high road on that thing. I said, hey, you know, I didn't like that you didn't celebrate our team, and rather than made it a joke. That was the only thing I said. I love game day. I love Kirk Herbstreit. But
I thought they were jabbing the Pac-12, not Washington State. Coach Corso is so pro-college football.
I know.
From the standpoint, he doesn't say negative things. I'm watching that live, and I thought he said the Nobody Wants Us Bowl.
He does.
No, he says nobody watch.
He says nobody wants us bowl.
I think he says nobody watches. Maybe
it was the other way.
Okay.
I think Dickert heard no one watches us bowl. And what he really said was no one wants us bowl, because no one wants those two teams.
Okay. So factually, he's correct.
He's correct.
Okay.
But what he did afterward and the crying and then McAfee kind of jumping on that.
Okay.
I didn't like that part. I just, you know, it was my alma mater. These kids didn't need to be made fun of. You had a chance to celebrate them. So I said something.
Do you want a piece of McAfee?
No, I don't. As my wife has told me over and over, stay away from that. That is bad karma. And she's right. She's right. She's absolutely
Let's
right.
Let's bring in Pat McAfee, Paulie. Hey, Pat McAfee.
I just wanted to celebrate college football, and unfortunately, but they doubled down on it too. So I've let them kind of run with it. And, you know,
yeah, they're not letting go.
No. And, you know, unfortunately, you know, that's, I love college football games. You know, I love doing that. And, you know, that's the disappointing part in all this.
Help me understand this, that Kellen Moore was the offensive coordinator with the Cowboys.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's with the Chargers. The Chargers play the Cowboys on Monday night. How much input information do you think is relevant to what he knows about the Cowboys to what then he can give to his team?
Well, I don't think he can necessarily give anything to his team. I don't buy into that a lot, because the game's too fast. Trying to tell somebody in a week lead up to a game what they're going to do in this, that's not going to.
But is there a cadence that you can get? Is there signals?
Maybe cadence, but I will say this. He has gone up against Dan Quinn in that defense every day in practice for the last 2 years. So he has an understanding of how to call offense against that. I'm not so partial to the idea that he's going to be able to tell the defense what Matt McCarthy's going to be able to do.
Okay.
He knows what Dan Quinn, his tendencies are, more or less, because he went against him every day. I mean, they put practice scripts against one another for 3 years together or whatever it was. So that, for me, is more beneficial than him being able to tell the defense what Mike McCarthy is going to call or do with a player's tendency. That's where I think the success comes from. They get Austin Ekeler back. Justin Herbert is a stud. You know, and hopefully Quentin Johnston is going to be able to add to the mix now that Mike Williams is out.
Why don't we celebrate Austin Ekeler the way we do Christian McCaffrey?
He wasn't a first round pick, maybe.
But his numbers are better than Christian McCaffrey.
It's just a mindset thing. It really is. The anchor that you wear, both good and bad, when it comes to being a top draft pick, it's a branding thing. And the other thing is, it just maybe not as excitable. I love Austin Ekeler and what he brings to the table.
Well, McCaffrey has a novelty to him, being a white running back.
He does. Yeah. He does. And to be the best running back in the NFL right now in terms of his production, that you know, leads to the great white hope mentality.
Yeah, but Austin Ekeler has put up these great numbers.
I agree with
and
you.
And then tried to get a new contract. The Chargers like, yeah, see what you can get. And then he has to crawl back. And now he gets, you know, this is a big moment for him.
It
is. Standalone game.
It's a huge moment. He hasn't played since week one, but he was great in that game. He's been banged up a little bit. Now he gets to do it on Monday Night Football against the America's team, who's coming off just an absolute embarrassment in San Francisco. So, I mean, this is big for both squads. You know me, I'm a huge, huge fan of Justin Herbert. I just love watching the guy play. I love the guy that he is. I don't know if I've ever seen anything so substantial that when he got hammered on the sideline by the Las Vegas Raider guy, the entire team came to his aid. I mean, if that didn't showcase how beloved.
That's a good sign.
He is in that locker room for that organization.
Did you ever get knocked down close to the sidelines and waited for your teammates to get up and get in somebody's face?
I can't. At the NFL level, I would assume no one came to pick me up. but in college, my five guys up front, they literally laid down in traffic for me at one point. Do you remember the movie The Program?
I know it.
Yeah, so initially when it was first released.
There's a scene.
There's a scene in it.
And they're laying in traffic.
Well, the quarterback says that to him. He goes, what are you willing to do for me? And they go down and lay down in literal traffic, like down the – well, apparently, after that scene ran, kids went out and tried it. Someone got injured and hurt, and so they pulled the scene from the movie.
Yeah.
But me and the old lineman went and saw it. Like, we literally did it. I walked out of it, and I was like, what are you guys willing to do for me here? Just idiotic 19-year-old kids, probably – You know, hyped up on some Bush Light. I don't know, and we went lay down in traffic in Moscow, Idaho. But it didn't deer to that. They were the Fat Five. Two of them were walk-ons. I mean, those guys. We went to battle. Yeah, they stood up for me a ton, not only in games but off the field as well.
Golly, yeah,
good guys.
I've asked the Danettes, what are they willing to do for me?
Hey, you know what? I think that you're not around when I spend time with a lot of them. You know, Paulie and I go to dinner.
Mm-hmm.
His daughters take care of my son when we do, and they are very grateful for you, and they would probably do a lot more than you think.
Yeah, Paulie.
We had a talk, and we may not lay down in traffic, but we'll sit through traffic like a jam to get here to work.
So to get to work, they would sit in traffic.
Sit in traffic.
That's something.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people.
Seton and Fritzy do sit in traffic when they
put a lot of miles on my car.
Thoughts and prayers.
Yeah.
I've turned back a couple of times when the construction was too bad or I couldn't get there.
I've bent Polly's ear about having two daughters. You have all daughters. My wife and I, who's here in the green room, we're about to go do our 34-week ultrasound, and it's a little girl.
Oh.
And so they had the shower, and they brought home a lot of the pink stuff and the. And I looked around for the first time. I think it finally hit me. There's never been a girl in our family. Like, my mom and dad had three boys. And then, like, all the daughters of my grandparents had all boys. And so we've had a cousin who's a girl in the family. But no one, this will be the first one for me, like, even having any tendency of, like, what am I going to do? So I think I'm going to, you know, you guys are going to have to be real mentors for me through this process.
Well, I'll be more than happy to do that.
I appreciate that. That's going to
be helpful. So your son's name is MacGyver. Your daughter going to have a TV show like Buffy Vampire Slayer?
We've told people this, but I don't know if Anna wants me blabbing it out, but she's okay. We decided with Claiborne and Bo was the B-O and the Born was what my son gravitated to. So we started, like, at night he'll come in, talk to her belly and say, hey, Bo, what are you eating in there? You having pizza, you know? And now she's really active and she's like punching and like kicking and stuff. So MacGyver can see it. And then her middle name's going to be Marvel. So there's your, but not because of the movie, because, you know, you guys have known me long enough. We struggled with 4 miscarriages during the pandemic. And so the fact that this happened is a marvel. And so that's what Anna wanted. And so we're going to go Claiborne Marvel Leaf. And we both started talking about this the other night. We bet she ends up walking out of there going, "You're going to call me Marvel," is what you're going to call me.
It's like a Kardashian name, you know, Marvel.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think this is a Leaf name, and we're happy about it.
Look at you doing big boy stuff, man.
Yeah. At 47.
Yeah.
I'll be 65 when she graduates from high school. All her friends are going to be like, "Hey, your grandpa came. How cool."
I've gone through that.
You've gone through that one
yeah,
too?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's like, "Oh, whose grandfather's here?" "Oh, that's my dad."
Yeah.
Man, is he old. Hey, great to talk to you.
You too. Good to see you.
Yes. And we'll take a break. We'll come back with phone calls here. Chase Daniel is going to join us. You have more touchdown passes than Chase Daniel?
Somebody sent me that, and I said, "No, you're wrong. You're wrong about
that."
How
many touchdown passes did you throw?
14.
14. Paulie, now, we can't include preseason in this, though, Paulie.
No, Chase, if we went preseason, then I would have a lot. Okay. I'm a preseason Hall of Famer.
Chase is Tom Brady, too, in the preseason.
Yes, he is. Chase Daniel might be the best preseason quarterback of all time.
Pretty good. I was pretty good, though.
Chase Daniel career touchdown passes? 9.
Oh!
Someone sent that to me, and I was like, how many years did he play? 15?
Yeah, 15. 13.
Well, he was on a team for 13 years.
Yeah. But he got paid to play professional football for 13 years or whatever it was.
He went 2-3 as his starter.
I went 4-17. So I beat him there, too. Okay. Hey, the day's turning up for me, boys.
Yeah.
Yep.
Things are looking up. Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you, guys.
Ryan Leaf joining us. We're back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
What if there was someone who wanted to help you find a job? And not a website, but a person, an actual person in your community. That would also do it for free. There is that scenario. Choose Express Employment Professionals, and that's exactly what you get. Express Employment Professionals is the local jobs expert that you can trust. They never charge you. Everything is free. No fee for you to find a job. Go to expresspros.com, find the office nearest to you, or download the Express Jobs app to get started. Wide range of opportunities, variety of industries, welding, sales, forklift operator, customer service. The team at Express is ready to help you or somebody you know find their next career step. Whether you're looking for a contract job or maybe a full-time role, a new one, turn to Express Employment. Interviewing with Express can be as easy as a phone call, or one application with Express Employment will put you in the running for numerous opportunities in your community. Don't go into your job search alone. Visit ExpressPros.com. ExpressPros.com. You heard of LCD Sound System before?
I've heard of the song. It's okay. Not something that's on my, I don't have it saved on my phone when I'm taking a walk around the neighborhood.
See, you have the My House, and that can be your house, you know, as far as a hype song in the stadium.
They can all yell, My House! We must protect my house.
Seton, any issues with LCD Sound System?
Not a single.
All right.
Other than they broke up too early, no.
Oh, they got back together.
Yeah. They're doing residencies now.
Yes, they are.
I don't know their backstory. Where are they from? I don't know much about them.
I think, is it Brooklyn or in Lower Manhattan?
I think Brooklyn, yeah.
And the lead singer was actually a music producer, I think, and then became the lead singer for LCD Sound System. This is called Daft Punk is playing in my house. My house. Chase Daniel, look who's becoming an analyst. I love this. Chase Daniel, I'll give you the backstory. I think it's 14 years in the NFL and a two-time Heisman Trophy candidate at Missouri. And he hosts the Chase Daniel Show. You'll find that on YouTube. How's it been? What's the reaction so far?
It's been good. You know, I'm still trying to find my way a little bit, but, you know, appearing on NFL Total Access on Fridays, and I decided, hey, like, yeah, we also have a podcast with Trey Wingo called Chasing It. We just had Travis Kelce on. The episode blew up. So we just continue to keep getting guests and just trying to find my way. But this Chase Daniel Show on YouTube, it's interesting because it's just a quarterback breakdown. And I try to pick a few guys every week, maybe four or five guys, and really go in from an aspect of like what I was for 14 years. I was just in the room and it was like day after game film. The good, the bad, the ugly, I don't care. Like, I'm just going to say how it is. Like, I'm just going to break it down, and I'm actually able to telestrate it on the screen. So I'm able to circle things, draw up route concepts, explain to the average viewer what goes through quarterbacks' heads and where maybe he should have thrown the ball. A quarterback, take for instance, CJ Stroud, just broke him down. Like, the dude is playing unbelievable, but like, he missed some throws. All right. So I'm going to be able to tell you that. And it's just a way, like, football is very, very complicated and complex. So I try to break it down to the average viewer level and say, hey, here's what happened. Here's what he should have done, or he did this well. And it's taken off. I've been pretty surprised at everything that's been going on with it right now.
Well, you did the video where you called out the Cowboys defense after what Brock Purdy did. So give the audience an idea of what exactly did Brock Purdy do and what role did the Cowboys defense play?
Yeah, that was my highest grossing video. It was like 150,000 views in like 24 hours. So there's some San Francisco 49ers faithful fans that want to see it.
No. That's Cowboy fans that want to see it too. They want to know what's wrong with their team. I would break down the Cowboys every week if I were you, Chase.
Yeah, it's interesting because I just posted a Dak video. We can get to that later. But the way Brock was able to play on Sunday night, I mean, the thing with Brock, it's either him or the system. That's all I've heard. It's him or the system. It's him or the system. And why can't it be both, right? It's a perfect commingling of two people, Kyle Shanahan, Brock Purdy, and going at it, because he's had other quarterbacks before, right, that haven't been able to run the system as efficient as Brock. And it's not like he's just checking it down. He's going through progressions. The game plan was excellent. You know, we always talk on offense, especially what they're doing in San Francisco. We talk about blitzing the defense. What does that mean? Shifts, motions, checks, different personnel groups, everything like that. Brock is handling it so like calm, and that's the biggest thing I've seen from him. Is
so what you're saying is the Niners are the aggressor, that they're actually blitzing the defense there, and Brock is aggressive. He's not like Jimmy G. He's aggressive downfield.
Yeah, I was actually surprised at how much they're taking shots downfield. It's not these old like screens. Of course they have it, like, but you know, you're only as good as the 10 other players around you. And I'm telling you right now, this San Francisco 49ers offense is the best in the league, and it's not even close. The way they're able to handle different times within the game, different looks that Dallas's defense was giving them, and just the play calling genius. Obviously, everyone knows about Kyle Shanahan, but you got CMC. And honestly, when I broke down Brock a couple times on my show, I've been really impressed with Brandon Ayuk. Like, the dude has taken his game to a completely different level. Everyone knows about Kittle. Everyone knows about CMC, Debo, okay? But Brandon Ayuk, I'm telling you right now, like, he looks to me like a thinner, faster Mike Williams even. And I keep breaking him down. I'm just like, man, like, the way he's running, like, he looks 4.4 speed, 4.3 speed. He's got fresh legs. It's really impressive. And honestly, like, all those weapons at the end of the day are going to end up helping Brock.
Is it fair to start looking at Sean Payton the way we do Bill Belichick? And that is Belichick without Tom Brady and Sean Payton without Drew Brees. What kind of coaches are they?
Yeah, I don't know. I just think he inherited a pretty tough situation there. Like, I'm a big Sean Payton fan, but at the end of the day, like, you got to win, right? And the offense just looks so, like, stuck in a rut. And I don't know if it's Russell, because honestly, like, Russell has played well, like, three or four games out of the year, and it's really been their defense, which no one was expecting. You can't tell me that, because I played in that division for like 5 or 6 years, especially the last 2 years. Their defense, especially their pass defense, has been unbelievable, and they played really well last night. You hold the Chiefs to one touchdown and you end up losing the game. They came back late in the game. But you look at Sean Payton and what he's done. I mean, I think eventually, like, he's going to end up being like, hey, like, all right, wholesale fire sale changes, who knows what's going to happen. But I just think that he eventually will get his guys in there. And whether it's Russell Wilson in there, I don't know. I can't tell. You know, I'm not in the building, but I know a lot of those guys that are. And I just think they're trying to really find their way as an offense. And the defense isn't really helping them out very much.
But is Russ the type of quarterback Sean Payton wants?
Well, I mean, everyone's talking about it, right? Everyone's talking about, hey, is you know, Sean Payton, he needs a drop-back style quarterback. Look, Russ, in my opinion, is his best out of the pocket, right? So, Russ, you have to have a really smart quarterback for that offense, because with Sean Payton's offense, I mean, I was in it for 7 years, and it is very difficult. Russ is really smart. He's a cerebral type quarterback. Can he make plays within the pocket on time and in rhythm? It's not really Russ's game. He's done it this year, and you look at the big splash plays, it's been on the outside of the pocket when plays break down, making plays with his legs.
Talking to Chase Daniel, and you could check out his YouTube channel, his show, The Chase Daniel Show on YouTube. You mentioned you broke down Dak Prescott. What did you see, good and bad?
Yeah, I broke it down, put it up last night, and it was a little slow, and I just looked, and it's Dallas fans are flocking to it, because I was just honest. I mean, I labeled it as Dak the problem, and from my opinion, just watching the game, it's not Dak. Like you watch the San Francisco 49ers game, I think that's just an anomaly, in my opinion, because the 49ers defense, all they did, and now teams might try to replace it and do the same thing. They were just playing man-to-man coverage, man. It was like, come up, press Dallas Cowboys, get home with all their receivers, get home with four rushers and Bosa and all those guys on the off, and Dak had no time to throw the ball. His three picks came late in the game. I think he only played 39 plays in that game, because they were getting blown out and they ended up putting Cooper Rush in. So for the most part, I think Dak has done a really good job this season. It wasn't great tape, honestly, when I watched the 49ers team. And I don't know if that's a Mike McCarthy problem and he's getting used to still calling plays and trying to figure out the offense, or if it's Dak. But I just, at the end of the day, when you look at it from that game, it's just like, to me, I think it's going to be an anomaly.
Yeah, but it feels like we're waiting for Dak Prescott to be somebody he's not. Like,
yeah.
Right? I mean, he's not going to be that upper echelon quarterback. At least it doesn't appear. After 8 years, are you really going to change? 7 years?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, look, it's a hard question, because you look at this league is such a game-to-game type league, right? Like, what have you done for me lately? You look at the past 3 or 4 years, Dax had really good years, but they've never been able to win the big game, especially against San Francisco. Last year's knocked them out of the playoffs. And so eventually, like, you know, Jerry Jones and Mike McCarthy, if he's going to be the guy moving forward, they got to see something that says, hey, Dak, you're in the top
8 top 5 quarterbacks, and not only are you a game manager, you better win games with your arm when we need you to win games. And eventually it's got to come down to that, and you got to have the players around you, which they do. They've always had the players. That's never been the question with the Dallas Cowboys. The talent has always been there. You know it. It's like, hey, can you put it together for a string of games? Can you get on some streaks? Can you win big games in the playoffs? And that is not what the Dallas Cowboys have been.
The Bears know what they have in Justin Fields, right? You know what kind of quarterback he is. Has he shown you enough? Have you broken down his tape that you would say, if I have the number one or number two overall pick, I'm going to still stay with Justin Fields?
Well, you got Caleb Williams and Drake May, right? Like that, those are the two that are probably
But is Justin Fields a franchise quarterback?
I mean, the way he's played, so I break it. I watched every single one of their games because I'm so interested in like just what was going wrong. You take the first three games of the year, and it was a crapshoot on offense. Like they couldn't do any. It looked to me like Luke Getsy was calling plays like he had a statue back there at quarterback. I'm going to be completely honest with you. And the innovation wasn't there. They were barely moving like pre-snap motions or shift, just easy stuff. So they were just in stagnant formations. He was under center a lot. Like I watched the Chiefs game and I was thinking, what in the world? Like you have this guy. This guy is not an under center drop back play action passer. He's just not that guy. That's just not who he is. And he did. And then you go back and you look at the Broncos game and the Commanders game. And it's like he's thrown 8 touchdowns in those games, a completely different quarterback, a completely different offense. It's like, why did you wait so long? Because you look back last year, that's exactly what their offense was like until the New England game. And the New England game, Luke Getsy said, handcuffs are off, just run, man, just go. And then he started his tear through the league. And then he started again like that this year. And then the last two games, right? He's been unbelievable in the offense. The offense has changed. And that's what's really good. Like you have to put this guy, if you want him to be your franchise quarterback, which I'm still on the fence about. I'm not sure if he can. The last two games sure is like it. But he needs to be in an offense like Luke Getsy was running. He needs to be in a Lamar Jackson type offense where, hey, it's RPO. It's quick game. It's screens. It's quarterback run. It's decision-making. I think that's something that he continues to get better on. I've seen a really big difference in him from the first 3 weeks to the last 2 weeks is his processing speed has gone through the roof. It's not like where he's holding it. He's looking at one and just taking a sack because he had the most sacks over the last 2 years when he's holding the ball 4+ seconds. Now I can't even see it. It's like 1-2 run, 1-2 run. So whatever he did or whatever change they made on offense, it's working.
Yeah, they were trying to make him into something that he's not. Also, you know, throw on first down. Like, don't make it so it's predictable on third down. And you're right. He was back there as if he was, you know, Peyton Manning, and he's not going to carve you up. I would treat him just like Carolina did Cam Newton. Go out and be Cam Newton. Don't try to be anything other than who you are, and that's who Justin Fields is. He's going to be that guy. He's not going to be consistent. He's going to have big play, you know, capabilities, but man, they got a big decision here at the end of the year, and I don't know if he could play his way back into Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's an interesting decision because it is decision time coming up, but if he continues playing this way and they can actually put, I mean, let's be real, other than DJ Moore, they don't have many playmakers on offense. Like, you got to surround yourself with guys, and I love the Cam Newton analogy because it's me, like everyone, like it went viral. Everyone was like, oh my gosh, he just called out the coaching, right? Like when Justin Fields called out the coaching. But to me, I took it way different than anyone else. It was him finally saying, look, like the coaching is fine, okay? But maybe there's a fine line, especially in quarterback rooms, of overcoaching, right? And that's what I think was happening to Justin. Finally just said, hey, go out, be yourself. Be yourself, show your personality. Do what you do, and he's starting to flourish in it. They're not holding him back. He's just starting to roll. And so we'll see. We'll see. I mean, you know, the next 10, 12 games.
Well, the only way that he can stay in Chicago is to win his way. Because if they win, then they don't get Caleb Williams or Drake May unless they trade for it. So he can prevent the Bears from getting that next quarterback. Chase, it's great to talk to you. Love to have you back on. Promote your YouTube channel, The Chase Daniel Show. And congrats on the success.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Chase Daniel, one of the greatest preseason quarterbacks of all time. If they have a preseason, I wonder if they ever came up with a preseason Hall of Fame. Guys who just dominated. Now, we did have quarterback stats there, but I don't know. That's usually the only way. Like, who would be my running backs? Who would be my wide receivers, my tight end? The greatest preseason players of all time. Yes, Marv?
Victor Cruz, first ballot.
Ooh. We had a little success during the regular season.
True.
You know. Oh, so you can't be good during the too good during the regular season. Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. If you're too good in the regular season, then it's not an anomaly that you were good in the
preseason. I'll take it back then. He scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl and had a Pro Bowl. Nope.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up, and you say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime. With tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.